This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Tuesday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. At Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia live on Twitter X Spaces for the final segment of each show. God willing. You always have to... say the prayers before we do that, make sure it works correctly, but we'll test it before we go, you know. So the time for the Army game was announced, Joe. I believe it's noon, correct?
Yes.
Okay, it is noon.
Noon on ACC Network.
On ACC Network.
So you don't even have to stream.
Don't even have to stream, I repeat, Joe. Now all we need, look, I gotta be honest, man, I'm on the fence a little bit with this UNC game or this Virginia Tech game. I'm a little on the fence. Talk to Gio. He's like, dude, it's nighttime. You came during the day last time. You got to try to make the night one. So I'm like, oh, man, I don't know, man. But he is either going to be a broadcaster or a salesman because I'm right there. Anyway, it can only be one, Joe. So I need a time is my point. I need a time for the UNC game. I already know the time for the...
We're going to get it next week.
Okay. We already got a time for the... Virginia Tech game, 7:30 on Thursday, which makes things a little difficult, by the way. But that's like they have that game
here,
every year.
You're talking to me like I'm the one that's making the decision.
Well, I'm just saying it just makes things a little difficult. Like not for me. If I want,
I understand.
Pretty sure I could get the days. I got the PTO. I could get the days. Man, first world problems. You know. What am I going to do? Yeah, entertainment at night would be something else, though.
Dude, I get it. But that one would be super hard for me. So
I know. I'm just saying, man. It's going to be a decision that's going to need to be made before October 7th. Okay.
I mean, I think they know that, Sean.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Are you speaking to me or are you speaking to the athletic directors at UNC?
You and the 10 people that listen to this show every week dedicated.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Army's next week. They just announced it. They still haven't announced Clemson either.
And they do. They play this. That. They play this game where they, you know, wait to see how everybody's doing, and the networks decide whether or not they want to put some of these games on primetime to draw eyes.
Right.
And it's a money grab, just like everything else in the NCAA. Money grab. All right. Yeah. That's all I got.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, we beat Purdue, and then all of a sudden they're going to say we're going to probably be prime time with Clemson because of, you know, everything that's happened with us and Clemson in the past, and then everyone's going to assume that we're going to beat Army and we're going to go ahead and be 4-0 and have Clemson coming to town, right? So obviously that's the money grab. I mean, I just don't.
I mean, I love prime time.
How long do you wait for the North Carolina?
The one thing, yeah, I know that's the problem. Depends on what they do too. Here, the one thing with primetime in the dome is the dome regardless of what time it is. And I guess it's fun because, you know, it's going to be on a Saturday night or whatever, and we can all enjoy some extra cervezas and, you know, have fun. But Under the Lights, man, is just special. No matter what sport, really. I mean, honestly.
Racing, yeah, no, I get it. Football. And I'd much rather North Carolina game be a night game, to be perfectly honest with you. It'd probably be a little bit more expensive for you. You're probably looking more like hoping it's a
I'm hoping it's right at 12.
What about 3:30? Would that be?
3:30 is fine, but at 12 would be great. I could leave here at friggin' 7. I can even get some tailgating in. Be get there by 10:30. Do an hour of tailgate, smoke a cigar, drink a drink. Go into
I hope you're going to tailgate. That's why I would rather it be 3:30.
Yeah, I hear you. Makes sense.
Get a little bit of tailgating in, you know? I mean, the last time we tailgated, it was pretty good.
It was. I won't have all that gear, though. That's the thing.
What's that?
I probably won't have all that gear.
No, yeah, but I can bring stuff.
All right. Well, we'll figure that out. When they give us the game time! The all-time series between the Orange and the Boilermakers sits at 1-1. The first of the two meetings was in 2004, where Purdue shut out Syracuse 51-0. That was led. We talked about this last year. It was led by none other than It was led by none other than the one and only Kyle Orton, who went 16 for 30 for 287 yards, 4 touchdowns. Last year, Syracuse. They were leading 25-15 at one point, and then, you know, we all remember what Charlie Jones did to us, 180-something yards, I believe. They hooked up for a 55-yard touchdown, and it was 25-22, then with 6:41 left, a missed field goal by Purdue's kicker, Michael, what is it, Finneran, with 2:54 left to go, and then Schrader was good. He was the man through the air. 181 with 3 TDs, 83 yards on the ground. Led rushing too. They're coached by another first-year head coach, is Jeff Brohm. He was recruited by Purdue from Illinois. Ryan Walters was recruited by Purdue from Illinois. Jeff Brohm is gone. He's in Louisville now. Their record last year was 8-6, 6-3. They entered last year's game against the Syracuse at 1-1. And they, after the loss to the Orange, they actually went on a 4-game win streak, which kind of justified our win there a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Three of the team's biggest stars from last year, they've all found homes in the NFL. You got Payne Durham, who we all love to hate. That he was obnoxious last year, remember? He's with the Bucs. I believe all these are still set in stone. I got this from Nunes. Aiden O'Connell, he found a spot with the Raiders. And Charlie Jones is a Bengal. So... you know, those are the three big names out of the offense last year, and they're all gone. So filling in for Aiden O'Connell is Hudson Card. He's a Texas Longhorn transfer. He's a dual threat guy. I think he's very similar to Garrett Schrader. I watched him last weekend. Talented passer. And, you know, he can scramble. And, you know, the one thing, Purdue, they lost, like I mentioned, two of their best receivers on offense, but he's got some weapons, and I mean, it's mostly because of he's a talented guy, and he adds that extra depth, the extra level, being able to use his legs. So I expect to see a lot of that between both of these guys. I think we're going to have to rely on the same thing. A couple of safeties left, or one of the safeties left last year, Sanusi. Is that how it is? Sanusi Kane and Cam Allen. They're both back, but corner, Corey Trice, he's actually now with the Steelers. And then, dude, you got five in Jalen Graham, who was linebacker, is now with the 49ers. You got five guys from last year's team who went on to get drafted in the NFL, and we beat them.
Yeah.
That's that. Think, put that into perspective just for a second. That's huge. That's huge. I'm sure there's a couple more. Maybe Joe will hit up on those. I just feel like you know, Purdue could be 0-2 coming into this game. I think the Virginia Tech game was unfortunate for Virginia Tech. They kind of let that they came back. They were down 17-0 at one point. Came back and ended up taking the lead kind of late, and then ended up losing it. But you know, kudos to Purdue for being able to rally back and take it. But anyway, like I said, I think it's going to be a knockdown drag out kind of game, similar to last year's game. You know, last year's game was pretty tight. What was it? 32-28 or something like that. What the hell was it? I can't remember.
It was a very close game, but if you remember, it was also a situation where
we were
there wasn't a lot of scoring until the end of the game.
Yeah, that's right? True. Yeah.
I mean, 32-29, but you have to remember, Purdue was up 9-3 at halftime, and then we were up 10-9 at the end of the third quarter,
mm-hmm.
and then we scored 22 points, and Purdue scored 20 points in the fourth quarter. That's for true. A 32-29 game, right? So, yeah. I mean, you don't really know where the points are really going to come from.
Atomic pumpkin time. Pumpkin spice, all the things. Have you had an atomic pumpkin yet, Joe?
I have not.
Have you seen him at Wegmans?
I have not been to Wegmans as of late, but...
Oh, you need to go. You need to get you some atomic pumpkins. Go ahead with your preview, Joe. Sorry.
I kind of looked into the matchups that they've had already. Obviously, Purdue, you've mentioned, is 1-1, and, you know, they've obviously played more difficult opponents than we have, correct? But...
Yeah.
Looking at that first game, losing to Fresno State. Fresno State's quarterback kind of had a day. I mean, when you look at it, Fresno State had more penalties. They also had one, and they threw an interception, and Purdue didn't even have a turnover. The quarterback went 32 of 45 for like 370 something. It was four touchdowns. And they still rushed for over 119 or somewhere around 119, 120 yards on the ground. When you looked at Purdue, they were very even in the rushing. I think they only rushed for 109 yards. And then they ran 30 times and threw 30 times. And, it was kind of a shootout, 39-35. But when they turn the next week and they go to Virginia Tech – and they go from throwing there's a lot more plays in that game, but they threw 34 times, ran 46 times.
It's more balanced offense, though.
Well, I mean, they were a more run-heavy team against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech, Grant Wells, he did throw two interceptions, but he was 16-33 for 243, two touchdowns, two interceptions. And... they had the two turnovers Virginia Tech did. It was 17-17 going into half, and that game almost had a six-hour delay. Purdue scored a game-winning touchdown in the fourth quarter. But overall, to me, the way I'm kind of looking at it is Purdue's still kind of trying to, they're still trying to figure it out. I mean, they do have a pretty – Hudson Card's a solid player, and Devin Maccabees, he's a solid running back there. He did well against us last year, but – I mean, you can see that the receivers are kind of all over the place on who gets, consistent. I mean, they're not really balanced. The guys that did get the first game didn't really do that great the second game. And it just looks to me like that team kind of struggles, to me anyway, Purdue, defending the pass, at least that. The one thing that did stick out to me was that they held Virginia Tech to own 22 carries for 11 yards rushing. So, Virginia Tech did not have, a good night rushing against Purdue. So I think it's pretty obvious that Purdue is more of, I mean, they're better stopping the run than they are the pass from what I have seen so far this year. And it looks also to me like, you know, they're going to definitely give Maccabee a boatload of carries, and hopefully we can contain him so he doesn't go crazy. And Hudson Card, he's going to have his plays. You know, I don't think he scrambles as much as Schrader, but he still has that ability, and he still, you know, can throw a decent ball. He's had a pretty good number so far this year, considering. I do believe last night I was listening to the pregame presser for Purdue, and the coach was talking about how there was a possible, I think there was an injury they had offensive line. I don't want to say it's center. I don't want to say exactly what the position was, but I believe that they're going to be down a starter on their offensive line going into this game as well. Mm-hmm. And currently Syracuse is, they're a 2.5-point favorite. So.
Yeah. Would they open at 3.5 or something like that?
I don't know exactly what it opened at, to be perfectly honest with you. But, 2.5 at Purdue, and yeah, so I mean that's kind of all I got. You know, you hit a good chunk. Obviously, they're missing a lot of guys.
There are a lot of holes on both sides of the ball. Missing a lot of guys. There's transfers.
Coaching, yeah, coaching turnover, stuff like that. Yeah, so it's a work in progress for them, and you know, it's hard to kind of see how good they really are, you know what I mean? Because we don't know how good Old Dominion is, even though, you know, Virginia Tech beat Old Dominion first game of the season. And to be perfectly honest with you, Purdue lost to Fresno State at home, and then Fresno State took, or I think they had to take two overtimes to beat Eastern Washington last week at their place. And I'm pretty sure Eastern Washington is a D1AA school, so they lost to North Dakota State the first week of the season 35-10, so they're not even the best D1AA school. So, and they struggled beating them. So, it's still the beginning of the season, week three. It's tough to really judge some of these teams, but you know, Purdue in the Big Ten traditionally, you know, they're good in the trenches, and Coach mentioned that as far as, you know, we're going to have to be tough in the trenches because, you know, they are. And we're going to have to stop Maccabee. And I think if we can do that, then I think we're going to be all right, because I think the secondary that we have can handle the hodgepodge of receivers that they have.
Yeah, not a lot of consistency, a lot of turnover. New coach bodes well for us. Third game of the season. You still see them trying to figure things out. And they really barely did squeak one by Virginia Tech. So, and that was kind of a grudge match, but there
it's
was a huge
match,
there was a,
and it's also
like a,
weird because
6 hour delay with the weather,
and then you come back, everything's all wet, right? Yeah. And Virginia Tech lost the turnover battle 2-0, so I mean, who knows if they don't throw those interceptions. So
in Virginia Tech had some injuries at receiver. Gio tell me that they might have lost their two top receivers for the year.
Ooh.
In that game. Yeah,
that's rough.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, look, both got to play the same game on the same field at the same time. Purdue won. But I'm just saying.
Right. And there's always going to be those things, right? I mean, you can't control 6 hour delays. You can't control now the field sloppy in an outdoor stadium, right?
Yeah.
Which, exactly. Again, Purdue, I mean, that's one thing that we do kind of got to put in perspective, too, right? Is this, I mean, we don't know what the weather's going to be like. This could be a sloppy game.
It could be. I really hope there's no weather issues.
But that's always a part of it.
Yeah. It's part of the fun of it, too, though.
And obviously, when you look at weather issues, when you look at the way that certain teams play, you know, like the Bengals and the Browns this past weekend, right, or the Giants and the Cowboys, I mean, that weather had a huge implications of those games. And obviously, looks like some teams can't play in that type of weather. So
that team would be the Giants.
Oh, that's, dude, Cincinnati didn't look good either, buddy.
I know they didn't, but the Giants didn't look good.
Oh, dude, that was awful.
The Bills didn't look good. To all our Bills friends out there, I mean,
dude, there's
Jets
a lot
D's
of
tough.
Didn't look good. A lot of rookie quarterbacks that
tough.
Didn't look good.
Yeah.
There's some ugly stuff out there. So
I just barely won my fantasy matchup with J.A. at the helm. He was freaking killing me last night. I wanted to scream. What a freaking nightmare that could have been. So, anyway.
Yeah, well, imagine the people that had Aaron Rodgers and needed a few points and he gets zero. So
It's not funny.
Tyreek Hill and lost.
It's not funny.
It's not. But he did take four snaps and he's done.
That could be his career.
That could be his career. So, anyways. All right. That's it for us. It's time to hear from you. All right, it is that time of the week where one of us gets to brag about our prediction from last week, and we get to make our predictions for this coming Saturday. So, Syracuse at Purdue. What time is this game, Joe? What did I see?
7:30.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I was going to say 2:30.
Prime time, baby.
Yeah, 7:30, prime time. And we got a lot of responses. I got a ton of responses on Twitter. And we will...
18 on Facebook.
18 on Facebook is killing it, actually. So there's that. Okay, let me get this up and add them. And like I said, I think, you know, I haven't checked many of these. So to be fair, I haven't gone through and to see, because I got mine pretty close. I think it's going to be similar to last year. I don't know. I could be totally wrong. We could totally go in and mop the freaking floor with them, right? So, it's one of those.
We can get whooped.
Or we can get whooped. So, I got 38 responses on here, but it looks like there's some banter. All right. Let's start with our buddy David, at David Super. He says, Orange win by forfeit, Purdue to chicken to show up. Because I screwed up the spelling. So very clever, David. I like it.
That's clever.
Here we go. The world's longest Twitter handle. If not now, win 84, 42 to 10. Schrader has at least two in the air and one on the ground. Penalties will be cleaned up and 4 to 5 receivers will see passes. Go Cuse. At baptized by fire 7, 34-17. By the way, I noticed them already off the bat. A lot of these have some meat to them. And you know how Joe loves the meat. 34-17. The defense leads the way against Texas transfer QB and turns him over with two interceptions. Schrader throws for over 200 and rushes for over 100. Now, I think Schrader's probably going to be... he's going to be on the edge of scrambling probably all the time. I just pray that he doesn't do anything stupid, okay? Because it's going to be a hard fought game, I feel, and I think that if, you know, you remember how Dungy used to be when things needed to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he would you know, push a little bit harder than maybe he
sometimes
should.
Sometimes try a little bit too hard. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. So let's hope we're not in one of those situations. I miss Eric Dungy, 20-17. Cuse wins with a last-second field goal. That's right up my alley right there. But I pray I don't have to sit through that kind of agony. You know what I'm saying, Joe? Like, it's not like when your Giants just get whipped right from the beginning, you know?
Right.
There's no tension and there's no anxiety there. It could happen
if it was pouring rain out there. So
it's true.
You never know.
At number one, Cuse fans, SU 34, Purdue 13. Another dominant performance by both Garrett and the entire offense through the air and running. Basically pure offensive domination there, described by Superfan. The defense especially will make it a nightmare all game long for Purdue's offense. And
Purdue, I love it.
Right, I like that. At T-Dot, Taramigi, 31-21. Let's get a couple of these with some meat on them. 20 at David W., 27-24, Cuse in OT, Big Ten Rock Fight Round 2. I think we will continue to see Schrader scramble and extend plays. Allen gets over 100 on the ground, nail-biter. At Todd G96, this is a very tough spot for Cuse to be on the road. Natural grass field, I think. Primetime game, large crowd. We'll learn a lot about this team Saturday night. You're forgetting one thing, Todd. The instructions are final score predictions. and you didn't do it. You know? What we got to say about
I'm
that?
I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd. You know, yeah, it's just a goofy fucking name, okay? Hi, what's your name? Todd. I'm Todd.
So, anyway, Todd. All right, we digress. Let's see, Noah, our buddy Noah on Twitter. Syracuse, 38. Purdue, 17. The Cuse dominates in primetime, and receivers continue to impress. Without Gadsden, look for LeQuint to step up in the receiving game as well. And that's something we haven't seen a ton of, Joe. And he barely got to, I mean, he's got three touchdowns last week, but he barely got to show off the moves last week, you know? So.
But he got the touchdown.
I know he got the touchdowns, and that's probably why he's, you know, he could be happy leaving the game like that. But you want to, you know, these guys want to go out there and want to make plays too. And he totaled 20 yards, but the three touchdowns, the icing on the cake, and absolutely acceptable. At Cuse Waterboy 2.0, Syracuse 31, Perdon 13. LeQuint Allen has a breakout game. A lot of people are on this bandwagon right now. The mob swarms them, causing a few takeaways, and Syracuse football announces to a national audience that we are back. That's what I'm talking about. All things SU on Twitter. Syracuse starters play a full game for the first time all year. 42-17. All of a sudden, we see fair weather fans complaining that they can't get it affordably. It could be the case. Good prediction.
That's the next excuse.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe. Hit me up with some off of Facebook real quick.
Well, we got a top fan, Nadal. He's in there.
Nadal.
Beating Virginia Tech at home is impressive, but Cuse pulls it out 28-21. I think they used the run game more this game. They didn't use it as much to not give away the plays the previous games, plus our main receiver potentially injured. There's really not a lot of, I mean...
No meat on
a lot
on
of,
Facebook.
A huh? lot of guesses. There's another Jeffrey Diana. I think they can beat Chicken. Going to be a three-score onslaught.
Okay, three scores, let's push it.
Yeah, let's see. Mark on Facebook, 47-2 Purdue. And then somebody comes back and says, not even close. My buddy Sabo, unpopular, but Purdue 23, Cuse 17. And probably the last one that we got here that's got anything... That's got a little bit of substance here, but Syracuse opened up as a 3.5-point underdog, but then the line quickly shifted to a 2.5-point favorite. Cuse wins 31-21. So to me, that's kind of crazy.
It's a big shift.
That's a 6-point shift. So you know where all the sharks and all the bettors are going on that one. So
interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's really tough to judge the power of it. Look. I know they're putting up a lot of points. You sent me the graphic. I retweeted it on Twitter.
Josh Black tweeted it.
Yeah, I retweeted Josh Black, actually. Teams with a top 10 scoring offense and defense. I mean, it's Oklahoma and Syracuse. So, I mean, hey, you know, when you're up there and you're in the stat, right? But opponent, yeah. I got to break out the opponent level card, man. I do. But
you do,
but
absolutely.
But the thing about it is that's a lot of scoring SU has done. It's a lot of scoring to do 2 weeks in a row. It's a pure domination. So they what they're telling everybody, to say the very least, is that, you know,
we called off the dogs too, right?
Huh? We called off the dog. What do you mean? To what?
I don't really think that we were really.
We were running the ball a lot.
It wasn't like we were out there to score. We were out there running plays to run the clock out and get out of there, right?
Right. And I mean, you know, with that said, it's tough to do, especially 2 weeks in a row, and you got to throw out the opponent card. But it's a lot of points. At the very least, what Syracuse is saying is, give us a freaking challenge. We're ready. So they're ready for Purdue. They absolutely are. So we'll all get to see what they can do with it, because obviously they need a challenge. There's going to be something coming.
We're not going to know what this, obviously, what this team is until they start playing teams. Cause as much as you, I mean, you can only play what's in front of you, right? So at the end of the day, I mean, regardless of who their opponents are, you have to be happy with the fact that they took care of business. I mean, there's been seasons in the past where things have gotten a little sketchy, you know? I mean, I remember a Villanova game that was super sketchy, right? And some other games that we probably shouldn't have had to, you know, wait for the second stringers, or we should have seen their second stringers and we never saw them because the starters had to play to win the game. And, you know, I'm just happy and thankful that we have done that and we have proven that. Again, we move forward to the next one and got to do what we got to do. But I think absolutely they're ready. I mean, you look at that defense, the offense, it looks like they've been clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, you don't want to be like Boston College, just struggling to get by. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, 28-31, Holy Cross. Yeah, no, we don't want that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, by the way, I saw it was texted by Tony. You were in that group text, right? Could you believe that? Could you believe that? Boston College Holy Cross had 40,100 fans in there.
Isn't it a local rivalry, though?
It is in-state rivalry. It is. But we had an in-state rivalry, too.
I mean, NCANT and Duke, whenever they go and play Duke, that whole stadium gets sold out.
Yeah,
because of the A&T fans.
Right.
So I'd be willing to bet that it was because of the Holy Cross fans that they had that many.
I mean, look, they figured they had a shot because Boston College sucks. So you're probably right.
They don't look great.
They don't. Can't wait. Blood in the water on that one. Okay, Joe. It's time. It's time to go over last week's. Okay? And I know we got more, but we did plenty. I think we get it. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's go with one more. At Jello Zump, 19. 41-16. Defense dominates. Schrader has a huge day in the air, and Allen becomes a big part of the passing game out of the backfield. Did I say that one already?
I don't know.
I don't think
it
I did.
It still sounded good if you did.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah, a lot of people on the LaQuint Allen out of the backfield. LaQuint Allen doing something more bandwagon, and I love it. I do.
Well,
because I want to see everybody's rooting for that dude, and it's time for him to, like a couple guys said, it's time for LaQuint Allen to have a breakout game, and I feel like it's if we need it to happen, and it should happen during Purdue, why not, right? So.
It's a situation, right? Like I said, I mean, Purdue held Virginia Tech to 11 yards rushing. It's only 22 carries, sure, but like I said, I there is something there. Like we talked about, Purdue is a better, you know, better at stopping the run than they are the pass on defense, based upon their first two games. So, I mean, I hope it happens. If we do, if all these people that are calling for LaQuint to have a great game and you know, and maybe between him and Schrader and doing the read and Schrader throwing another 50 or 60 yards on there or whatever, if we can have a successful running day, then that means that's good, because that means that we're doing well.
What else is because in the back pocket too, Joe? You know, like you're not breaking and you're not opening up the playbook and going in too deep against Colgate and Western Michigan.
Right.
It hasn't been flashy. You know, we've seen Schrader be flashy, but he's a flashy guy. But as far as the play calling goes, it's been basic. It's been vanilla, and we haven't seen them really open it up. You know, there's some things designed for the LaQuint situation.
Gadsden?
Yeah, that's not funny.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, right? I mean, it's a situation where Gadsden's not going to play Wallaba. I mean, they're both going to be out for a little while, so we're going to have to fill those spots. We don't know if Ellis or Joe Moore are going to be playing this week, or Trevor Pena, for that matter.
Well, when Garrett...
I mean, our receivers have stepped up, and we talked about that, but, I mean, based upon competition, they're going to be playing Power 5... you know, secondary.
So. I know. But the secondary's somewhat new, too. I mean, they got...
Well, yeah. I mean, Fresno State threw for almost 370 yards, I mean, on them with four touchdowns. So, I mean, obviously that option is there.
And
to be perfectly honest with you, Virginia Tech, even in the rain, in a wet field, was better on as far as passing the ball than running. So...
When Garrett Schrader said so confidently that we were going to see Joe Moore and Kalen Ellis, you have to wonder if maybe they were already ready and they just to play it safe, like we've talked about just kept him out of the Western Michigan game just to not chance anything, give him another week, you know, to...
I would love for that to be the situation.
He said it pretty confidently, and I don't know how players can call those shots, but, you know, I'm going to hold him to it.
I mean, I would love to be able to grab those two guys and possibly a Trevor Peña and say, okay, well, we just lost those two, but now these three can play, right?
Oh, yeah. Be huge. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not... I mean, I want Gadsden back. It just adds that extra layer. But with that said, I've been impressed with what we have as options besides Gadsden, and even in the Colgate game, you saw it. So I'm as far as like being worried about it, that's not where my worry is. My worry is on the offensive line. And if we get Joe Moore and Kalen Ellis back, I'm at least feeling a little bit more confident coming into the Purdue game.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so with that said, Joe, last week, what was the final score of that game? 48-7?
Yes, sir.
My guess was 49-7, and your guess was 45-3. You were a smartass and made us resort to the actual score because you kept the spread the same, which is clever. It's clever. But you lost anyway. So we're 1-1. Going into Purdue, Joe. 1-1. You take Colgate.
That was a good pick, man. You're one point away.
I know. And I was thinking as soon as that first 75-yard run for Western Michigan got taken to the house, I was like, oh my gosh, our scores are gonna be so far off. But
yeah,
that was it. So anyway. I think it's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to come down to, you know, much like the last game, like I said, two previous times, maybe survival of the fittest, man. Cream's going to rise to the top at the end. I think Syracuse ends up pulling away. I'm going to say 34-24, Syracuse.
Wow. That is a great, great pick, Sean.
Thanks, Joe. Means a lot coming from you.
Why do you always get to pick first?
I won.
You picked first last week and you lost. So
I know. Well, I guess you got
to
be
resorting back to you making.
I guess you got to be quicker than that. I don't know. Yes. Yes.
Like Big Daddy. I win.
Look, if you win, you get to either receive or defer. How about we start that? Okay. Sorry.
Okay, we can start that. All right. That's fine. Okay. Because I would have had you go first last week anyway, so it's fair.
All right.
It's fair.
I see a lot of high scores, by the way.
There's a lot of high scores.
Throughout the
predictions. There is. And that's obviously based upon because, you know, who we're playing. But I'm going to go a little bit lower. You went. I'm going to go.
Holy smokes, brother. Spit it out. Like, this should be figured out before we get here.
30-24.
You're going 30-24. Wow. Okay.
Syracuse.
All right. Okay.
It's not the same spread.
So I know it's not. I know. It's a pretty easy one to figure out. I know I'm not, like, the best at math on the cuff, but, you know, it's a pretty easy one to figure out. I was just writing it down. Okay. Well, look. It's going to be exciting. Primetime game.
Where's the what's the city that they're in? What city is Purdue?
West Lafayette.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's a mouthful.
Well, we're you know, us Syracusians, we're familiar with Lafayette. That's how it is over there.
Yeah. Well, the bougie. So far... What are they showing? Saturday so far. I know it's far away, but West Lafayette, 76 is the high, 56 is the low. It's 6% rain, so it looks like it's gonna be it.
Looks like it's clear. Looks right like it's day. Good. Perfect. I all like right it. Night. I think that bodes well for the team that usually plays in a dome.
I would say so.
So
it's probably gonna be a little bit more breezy than normal, but it's not gonna be like the Wake Forest game last year.
Oh yeah, it's colder than. Which is like hitting an iron rod. Yeah, you went to that. That was like it was you and four other Duke fans at that game. I remember.
No, I wasn't. No. No, I went with Heather, her brother, and my dad. But we were all wearing like jackets and hoodies.
I'm saying the crowd was terrible. That was the joke. Remember how bad the crowd was?
It was bad. Yeah.
All right. Look, that's going to do it for us for this week. We're going to see y'all back on Sunday.
Hopefully 3-0.
Hopefully 3-0. Hopefully talking about a win and getting your thoughts on that game as well afterwards. Hit the socials after that. And we'll see you Sunday. For Joe and Sean, we're out.
Peace.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.